probably the highlight, if you could call it a highlight, of this particular assignment was Hurricane Donna. Hurricane Donna occurred in September of 1960. I have never been involved in anything that was so intensively swallowed up with the amount of work to do. Unbelievable amount of work. And that's why this day, when I see people complaining, there's no way to conceive, unless you've been there, of how much work there is to be done following a major hurricane. People in the business know. Hurricane Donna was really a minimal hurricane. I think the top winds were like 80 or 85 miles an hour when they hit in our area. We had half of our total customers out of service. And at that time, we figured we had about 170, 180,000 customers. We had 85,000 customers out of service. Well, first of all, this, as the storm approaches, you start having troubles. You know, individual customer outages, service drop down, span of wire down, and that sort of thing. So we send people out to put it back up, to repair and return. Then as the storm intensified, it really didn't make any sense to go put up stuff because it was still getting blown down. So we pulled back until the storm passed through. Not completely, because sometimes you had to go do something, but a dangerous condition, you had to clear a wire or something. But for the most part, we didn't have the major thrust of service restoration until the storm passed through. I practically lived at the operations center for about 10 days. Well, of course, you're working first with the trouble tickets. The trouble tickets literally were, you know, all over the floor, individual tickets everywhere. So finally, you
and each of these tickets has come because of a telephone call?
Because of a telephone call, my lights are out, or somebody would report a pole down in the street or a tree on the line or any myriad of things. We had houses that were flooded. We actually had people go in boats to make sure the service was disconnected for safety reasons. Yeah. Then the next phase, and they've got what they call a storm plan. It was not as sophisticated then as it is now. But so you get to the stage where instead of looking at each individual reported trouble, you send people out and report everything, poles down, wires down, transformers, whatever, and take a circuit map and make a game plan for that entire circuit. And of course, you got a myriad of circuits, so you got a lot of these going. So that was the next phase of work, and then the crews went out. We started out with a schedule of work 16 hours and 8 hours off. It very quickly came to pass that 16 hours would get to be 18 and 20 hours because you couldn't walk off and leave
right.
It. So the crew wound up with crews coming and going all around the clock. We worked about 3 days like that, 2 or 3 days. And boy, the people were just dragging. I mean, so I went to the big boss, my boss's boss. Well, my boss was a part of it. I said, hey, look, we've got to give these guys a little more time off. So we gave them, two nights, we gave them 12 hours. Go home, sleep, get a good meal. And I said 12, it was 10 hours. And then come back to work. Well, it was like a whole new bunch of people. They got rested, they went in there, did a fantastic job of service restoration. The biggest news that we didn't have any severe accidents. You know, you got the bumps and scrapes, but no what we call lost time accidents at all, which was amazing given the kind of work and the volume of work that had to be done. And one of the most rewarding things of my career was to see how those people accomplished so much work safely in response to a real serious situation. Then there were some kind of funny things, odd anecdotal things. The phone calls in those days used to come into the operations center. We had a bank of telephones set up, you know, we had a room with the telephones you could plug in. We had, I don't remember how many lines we had now, but it was a goodly number, 8 or 10 maybe, I don't, whatever. And we just grabbed guys, they weren't telephone operators, they were just guys different from different work. I remember we had the people from the transformer repair shop in there. And one of them, he spent so many hours, this is kind of a sad story, he spent so many hours answering phones, and he was sitting there with his elbow on the table, you know, answering the phone, and he damaged the nerves in his and had to have surgery on his arm just from the impact of that. You know, that's one of these little tiny side jobs that was so important to that guy, that that people contributing in any way they could to the work process. Still, I still have very vivid memories of the volume of work and the things that people did. I even chipped in and answered the phones myself sometimes when I wasn't out with the crews. Then you had the proverbial little old lady calls. And she says, I know you folks are real busy, but I just thought I'd call and let you know that my lights are still off. This was after almost 2 weeks. And I didn't know whether you knew or not that I was still out of power. We didn't know. And this house was the last house on the line that ran back through the woods to, and the wire was down. There's no way we'd know that, you know. Right. But she was apologetic that she didn't want to bother us, but she just wanted to make sure she knew that we knew she was. So, of course, we jumped on that when that was winding down. But that was one of the little, right at the tail end of the work, one of the last jobs, I guess, we had to go to pick up a customer. But I always remember that because so many people were less than friendly to us. At one case where one crew went into a restaurant to eat, and the people in the restaurant got up and got all over the crew for being in there eating rather than being out working. So we pretty quick said, well, we're not going to do that anymore. So we made arrangements to have food brought into the, so that the guys can sit down and have a good meal, you know. But that's why it really upsets me to this day when people that really don't have any insight at all into the magnitude of the problem start raising Cain about how long the lights have been off. Sometimes, you know, in a matter of 2 or 3 days, they start yelling. And the work, the volume of work is just unbelievable. It's just a monumental task. It's a monumental task. We still talk about Hurricane Donna. It was the last real named storm that has come through here. We've had other storms brush by and other troubles resulting from them.
Yeah, but Donna didn't even make actual landfall.
Exactly.
Here.
It was not a major storm as storms go.
Right.
But it created havoc. It really did. So, and I guess that was maybe the most vivid memory of that assignment. But it was very rewarding, and I developed a philosophy that I think is a good one. You can buy the person's time with a payroll. I mean, you can buy his by paying, but you got to earn from him his desire and willingness to do the job that you have to have done. And I believe that. And that's why I was always made a major part of my effort to interface with the workforce. And some people, there's a book where they talk about management by walking around. Well, I believe in that. And a lot of the guys to this day remember that I came to visit at the power plant or I went to wherever it was and will tell me that they still recall that, you know, and which makes you feel pretty good. It does. And it's a very rewarding thing.